Want the good news or the bad news first, Wally? What do we do? Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have today reason number 666 to pull your kids out of public school. Reason number 666 to pull your child out of public school. We'll get to that. We've got the good news and bad news on the international front. We have pointing fingers at invisible guns. And we also have the press release announcing the 2013 Denver March for Life, the Colorado March for Life 2013. And as with anything Colorado Right to Life does, the press release, you'd think, how interesting could it be, right? About Sunday's March for Life, which, by the way, starts in Denver at 12:30. 12:30, some confusion about the start time. Live worship begins at noon, half hour of worship, and then the event begins, the March for Life event begins on the west steps of the Capitol in Denver at 12:30. That's the up-to-date, correct information. This press release put out by Colorado Right to Life is, how do you describe it? Stunning? It's hard-hitting. It's cutting. A press release, the audience for a press release is the media, journalists, reporters. This press release attacks the media. Now, that's gutsy. So I've got that here at, let's see, Denver Business Journals, the International Business Times, and elsewhere. So we want to do that. Also, the Denver Post, I have an article from the Denver Post where they've reported, and if anybody has the actual print edition, I think this was from yesterday, Tuesday, January 15th, the Electa Draper story about our lawsuit with NPR, National Public Radio, and that it's been settled. So if you have that in the actual print edition, maybe come visit us at Denver Bible Church Sunday morning at 9:30. And maybe you could bring that, or next Sunday, or whenever, or if a regular member, well, wait a minute, members of Denver Bible. I think this is one of those kinds of things that get you kicked out of Denver Bible Church. Is that true? If you have a subscription to the Denver Post, I think that gets you excommunicated. Just kidding. Now, if HBO and Cinemax, those would get you excommunicated because they're porn channels. But the Denver Post, I think you could still read that and be a member in good standing at Denver Bible Church. But it's coming close. But okay, so now, what do we do? The tragic, another case of Islamic terrorism, this, the good news and the bad news. So you want the bad news first, right? Bad news first is that Al-Qaeda militants have seized the British Petroleum Complex in Algeria. For public school teachers tuning in right now, Algeria is in Africa. In Algeria, they've taken 41 hostages, including 7 Americans. Now, that's the bad news. That's very, very bad news. The good news is that the U.S. Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, has figured out that this is terrorism. That's the good news. Not to be taken lightly. I mean, that's a significant development in U.S. foreign policy. They figured out that this is actually terrorism. That's a big deal with the Obama administration. Then we have reason 666 why you should pull your child out of public school. This one is so tragic, I fear even to report the news story. This is this month, just a few days ago. Out of Elmont, New York, public high school, a developmentally disabled 15-year-old girl endured, if you have kids in the car, if you're driving, Please turn off the radio for 30 seconds. Turn it off. 15-year-old developmentally disabled girl endured a brutal gang rape in the class as she was trapped under the desks by two boys with the teacher only feet away, according to a lawsuit filed on Friday, a few days ago. The teacher has been fired. As the investigation began, the teacher was fired, and the apparently the investigation is still underway. So that kind of a sexual assault in class with the teacher there. I mean, the stories out of the government schools keep getting more bizarre. It's as though they're not believable, except they're believable. You'd say this is unbelievable, except that it's believable. It used to be in Colorado, Gateway High School in Aurora, just east of Denver, a Denver suburb, they had 80 girls pregnant in one school year, 80. And they thought they took the state title. They thought they did. But it turns out just the suburb north of Denver, Commerce City, Adams City High School, they had 108 babies born to their students in one school year. That they took the state title. Adams City High took the state title. 108 babies born in one year. And that was a few years after they started giving out condoms to the kids. And as the Rocky Mountain News published at the time, my resignation letter, I was on the accountability committee. And when they decided against vociferous objections from parents, from me, I was a vice chair of the district accountability committee required by law in Colorado. I resigned in protest, and my resignation letter predicted that the pregnancy rate would increase. And I presented all the scientific research, all the research available, and it all indicated that the pregnancy, that sexual activity would increase and pregnancy rates would go up. And that's what happened. And the Rocky Mountain News republished my resignation letter 3 years later with the news story of 108 babies born in one school year at that government school. So now we're at reason number 666 to take your child out of the government schools. I mean, the teachers, think about it. The teachers went to government school. The teachers think it's funny when the kids have sex. Not all the teachers, but so many of the teachers, they think it's fun. They relive their own lust through the kids' action. So please take your kids out of public school. All right. Pointing fingers at invisible guns. This is in Maryland. Second time now in a month where 6-year-old kids have been suspended for making the shape of a gun with their fingers. 2 6-year-old boys were playing cops and robbers during recess and used their fingers to make imaginary guns. They were suspended. And happened earlier this month. The 6-year-old kid was suspended. These are from public schools, of course, no surprise. You know, liberals multiply rules. God gave one rule to Adam and Eve: do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he put the tree right in the middle of the garden so Adam and Eve didn't feel stuck. They didn't feel like they had to obey God. There was an easy way out. There's the door. Right? In a marriage, what does a husband do? Nail the windows and doors shut so his wife can't leave? That'd be pretty sick, wouldn't it? That'd be real sick. So there's always doors so you could leave, so that love has to be freely given. So Adam and Eve, they had the doorway out of the Garden of Eden, was actually in the center of the garden. It was the tree. Eat from the tree and you're out. You don't have to stay in fellowship with God. You can turn against him. And so there it was. God gave one rule: don't eat of the tree. And they ate of the tree. They broke the one rule. And so now we're in rebellion against God. And through Jesus Christ, we could be forgiven. But then God said, well, let me show you how this works. I'll give you 10 rules. Here are the 10 commandments. Carved on stone. No amendment process. And so there's the 10 rules. And what do you think Israel did? They broke all 10. So God gave them about 300 rules in the Mosaic Law, the Mosaic Covenant. And what do you think they did? They broke them all, 300. So now you're up to like, so the more rules, the more laws God gave, the more that Israel, and not only the Jews, the whole world, the more everybody breaks the rules. So it turns out that passing more laws does not make people more righteous, doesn't make you good. What the law does is it shows you that you're a sinner in need of Jesus Christ's forgiveness. That's what the law does. The law speaks only to those who are under the law, and it tells them that they are guilty before God. Romans chapter 3. So, by the way, we have just maybe the best Bible study, the greatest Bible study we've ever done in 30 years. It's called The Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. We have it on DVD with great new artwork, by the way, on the label. We have it on audio, and we have it in a book called The Plot. You read the plot and you get to the tree. And it's all about this. So anyway, liberals think, well, let's just keep making new laws. And so they have now, public schools are gun-free zones. And this is an example. They have a rule. You can't let people think. You have to pass these rules that no exceptions. So you bring a gun on school property, you get suspended. And so you take your finger and you point out your index finger, point up your thumb, and that's it. You're suspended. You're out of here. So just retract your index finger and just pull your gun now over your right shoulder. You're out of here. This is what liberals do. And our family, like other families at Denver Bible Church, one of our elders came up with a personal family policy that we've all agreed with, and it's that our kids are not allowed to go to a gun-free zone without the parents accompanying them. Our kids are not allowed at a gun-free zone, like at a public school. Say there's a play or something. Some friends are doing a play. Our kids are not allowed at a gun-free zone without parents accompanying them, because gun-free zones are especially dangerous for kids, and that's because of the ignorance of the left. Those in rebellion against God cannot make it so that people can't commit crime. You have to make it so that they won't commit crime. Liberalism, which is fundamentally rebellion against God, sets aside God's revelation, the principles of law and justice and government that he has revealed, and it replaces it with a myriad of laws so that you actually end up with millions of laws. Millions, like in America. Worldwide, there are what? Billions of laws? Well, probably not billions. Many tens of millions of laws. And here in America, as you drive down the street, the law changes. So what's the law in your town is different from the law in the next town. And that county is different from the next county, and that state different from the next state. So you think it should be that as you drive down the street, the laws change? You need about 30 lawyers to accompany you anywhere you go if you really want to make sure you're not violating any law. The lawyers have to accompany you, and they have to have specialties in all the different areas of law. So now let's get to the Colorado Right to Life press release. I'm turning here to International Business Times. They're funny, those guys. You know, they could just put out a press release to, like, the Denver Post and Channel 7. But no, they tend to put out things all over the nation and all over the world to say, hey, we're having our 2013 Colorado March for Life. And it's like, well, why would somebody in New York care? Well, you read the press release, you find out. The heading is Colorado 2013 March for Life. The subhead is 40 years after, 150 years after, 9 days after. Now, that's confusing. What does that mean? 40 years after, 150 years after, 9 days after. Well, let's see the press release. That's intriguing. Colorado Right to Life notes that this Sunday's March for Life in Denver is 40 years after the infamous Roe v. Wade opinion, 150 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, and 9 days after the Alabama Supreme Court unanimously held that the word child in a state child abuse law applies equally to an unborn child. Isn't that a great development? Wow. That's personhood compliant. That is personhood. This Sunday, January 20th at 12:30 p.m., Colorado Right to Life is hosting our annual March for Life on the west steps of the state capitol. Abortion is wrong because it's a baby, and it's always wrong to intentionally kill an innocent baby. Historically, and this is from the press release, historically, the media, government officials, and many institutions despised those who fought for abolition of slavery, and in Germany, for equal treatment under the law for Jews. Now, is that true? The elite despised those who fought for abolition. Sure did. Media, universities, government officials, they despised those who fought for abolition of slavery and those who fought for the Jews. They despised them. Today, mainstream journalists, politicians, and our state institutions despise those who fight for the personhood and right to life of every innocent human being, no matter how small. Is that true? Do they despise the personhood movement, the right to life movement? They despise them. And so here's a quote from Biff Gore. "God and historians will judge today's anti-human rights coalition of pro-choicers as harshly as they judge the slave traders and racists of the past," said Biff Gore, president of Colorado Right to Life. That's rather sobering. God and historians will judge today's anti-human rights coalition of pro-choicers as harshly as they judge the slave traders and racists of the past. "We are encouraged by Alabama's life-affirming ruling this month, acknowledging what everyone should realize, that a baby in the womb is as precious and deserving of protection as a baby out of the womb." Meanwhile, and here's a quote from a CRTL spokesman named Greg Jackson. Meanwhile, quote, "More than 50 million children have been dismembered in the 40 years since the crime against humanity known as the Roe opinion," said Colorado Right to Life spokesman Greg Jackson. "Whereas those who advocate the continued dismemberment of unborn children do so at the peril of their eternal soul." That's a press release. You do so at the peril of your eternal soul. And it's been 150 years this month since the Emancipation Proclamation, which event Colorado's biggest newspaper then used, ironically, to mock and condemn those advocating for abolition of slavery. How's that? And there's a link there to a Denver radio program on the Emancipation Proclamation, which quotes from the front page, first page of the Rocky Mountain News way back 150 years ago, 1863. January 1863 is when the Emancipation Proclamation went into effect. And on their front page, they used the proclamation to mock and condemn those advocating for abolition of slavery. How's that? You'd think they'd be in support of those guys, right? I mean, we're talking about slavery, slave trade. We're talking about owning black women and children and black men and kids being born into slavery. And you'd think that they would love those who are fighting for abolition. Wouldn't you think that? Wouldn't you think it? You'd think it, right? Only you'd be stupid if you thought it, because it's the media, it's the culture, it's our institutions, it's our governing officials, it's even most of our religious groups despised those who were fighting for abolition of slavery, just as today they despise those who are fighting for the abolition of human abortion. Abolish human abortion. So this press release here, it's almost over, but let me repeat that last sentence. It's been 150 years this month since the Emancipation Proclamation, which event Colorado's biggest newspaper then used, ironically, to mock and condemn those advocating for the abolition of slavery. Colorado's media have not changed, says the press release. Colorado's media have not changed. Speakers include spokesmen and spokeswomen from Colorado Right to Life, American Right to Life, Priest for Life, Personhood USA, Personhood Colorado, and Silent No More, including Gualberto Garcia Jones, Jane Brennan, Greg Jackson, Julie Averill, the Reverend Rocco Porter, the Reverend Scott Daniels, the Reverend Michael Walker, and the Reverend Walter Hoy. And with the Tebow Les Brown, now this is the last sentence of the press release. You'll have to please email me, bob@kgov.com, if you think this sentence is appropriate or inappropriate. Here's how the press release ends. And with the Tebow-less Broncos losing their playoff game, there will be no Denver schedule conflict. Now, you see that? If, you know, the Broncos haven't won a playoff game in, what, 8 years now? 8 years! Oh, except for Tebow. Except Tebow won a Denver Broncos playoff game. But other than that, last year. But other than that, not a single playoff game in 8 years. And maybe Tebow was traded away. I mean, how many losses did the Broncos already have when Tebow became the starter? How many? Was it three losses last year, 2011? I think it was three losses, 2011. So he starts with three losses, and he brings the Broncos to the playoffs, and he wins his first playoff game. And it's his first real season as an NFL quarterback. He gets to the playoffs. He wins a playoff game against the Pittsburgh Steelers in overtime. I mean, these are all extraordinary achievements for basically your first-year quarterback. And then they get rid of him. Right? Out with the new, in with the old. And so it's been 8 years since the Broncos won a playoff game, except for Tebow. And one possible reason, I mean, somebody could say that they traded away Tim Tebow because they thought they wouldn't win football games with Tebow as the quarterback. Somebody could say that. They could say that, except that he took a team with three losses, became the starting quarterback, and made the playoffs and won his first playoff game. Maybe they traded away Tim Tebow because he was just too openly Christian and pro-life. Remember, his mother endorsed the Colorado Personhood Amendment. Tim Tebow, he cut a Super Bowl ad, a pro-life Super Bowl ad. Remember that? That's not politically correct. They will despise you if you're against abortion. If you want to abolish human abortion, they will despise you. So maybe, perhaps, I don't know, but perhaps the Broncos got rid of Tebow because he was too Christian and too pro-life. That could be, I don't know. But it's, you know, maybe they got rid of him because he wasn't likely to win football games. Except that in 8 years, the only playoff game the Broncos won was with Tebow as the quarterback. And so with the Tebow-less Broncos losing their playoff game, there will be no Denver schedule conflict. There was going to be a conflict. If the Broncos had won their playoff game, then this Sunday, January 20th, there'd be another playoff game at Mile High Stadium, whatever they call it today. What do they call it? It's not even Invesco Field anymore. Sports Authority Field. It's the Squiggly Stadium. And so there would have been a conflict. People going to the march would have, you know, they would have then rushed home and they would have missed the first quarter. That's rough. But now there's no schedule conflict with the Tebow-less Broncos losing their playoff game. So that's it. So that's Colorado Right to Life's press release for Sunday's March for Life. Are you going to be there? Not only when you decide to go to an event like this, a Christian event and even an evangelistic event, something where they're affirming God as our creator and evolution is a lie, or the right to life of the unborn child under the banner of Jesus Christ as our creator and our savior and our judge. When you do that, it's not only for your own edification. You realize that? There are people who have invested their lives, their hearts, their souls, their honor, worldly possessions. They've invested in order to fight the battle to protect unborn children and to compel the government eventually to uphold God's enduring command, do not murder. And so when you go to these events, it's not only for your own private personal edification, it's to encourage those who have sacrificed so much to fight the battle. And so you don't have to go, right? You could stay home and do whatever you do on a Sunday afternoon. But you could go. And if you go, you will be encouraging other people. You'll be encouraging the kind of people who, like Leslie Hanks, who's for what, 15 years now, more? Virtually full-time. You know how much Leslie Hanks, she's now, I don't know if you know this, she's now the president of American Right to Life. You know how much she's gotten paid in 15 years? I think it's somewhere around nothing. Somewhere around zero. Tireless. Greg Jackson, the MC of the event, tireless. What is he getting paid? Nothing. I mean, the officers of Colorado Right to Life and their spokesmen. I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting paid to run a creation movement or a personhood ministry or whatever. That's fine. But some groups, some leaders have to be willing to do it for free to completely divorce themselves strings that come with meeting your monthly budget. So if you don't have to meet your paycheck, and by telling somebody the truth, they're not going to donate to you anymore. Well, it's easier when your officers and spokespeople don't get paid. Then you can just tell the truth. And what are they going to do? Stop donating? What's that going to do? So anyway, Colorado Right to Life's March. We didn't get to the Denver Post article on our lawsuit settlement. If you have that, please mail us a copy, kgov.com. God bless you.